If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Producing single rose like flowers, continually from June to the first frost.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to exchange some of the latest news, views, and a bit of timely advice on all matters gardening. Later on in the programme, I'll be speaking to Anthony Darby, the large-scale container plant grower, producing the Temptations range of trees, shrubs and herbaceous plants. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this programme. Boy, we've had some really wonderful weather. Almost too dry now for us, and I've just been knocking a bit of soil about. Even though it was winter dug, there were some really heavy clods, and I needed to put the sprinkler on it just for half an hour or so, and once the moisture had got into those clods, just let it dry overnight, and then when you hit them with a three-tonged cultivator, they break down. And there's so many things now I want to get sown. I've got a plot marked out that's 9 feet by 12, and I'm going to do that in checkerboard style with a square yard or a square metre or so of at least 9 different crops. The shallots have gone in, and I've sown between them just a sprinkling of carrots. Nothing new in the sort of intercropping idea. But with luck, the shallots will be harvested by July, late July, and then the carrots can continue to grow, and I'll lift those in the autumn. As I say, it's not new. I think the Native Americans used to grow climbing beans up their corn plants, and in the Canary Isles, they go one further and put some courgettes in amongst the sweet corn and the climbing beans. The courgettes taking quite a bit of shade, and you get 3 crops in the one space. Well, now, if you'll just excuse me for a minute, I'll wander up and get myself comfortable in the polytunnel once again. Oh, but before I do, I must just mention the tree peony is just coming out. What amazing plants they are. I've got just one. I've had it for years in a container. Chop it back quite hard after it's flowered and it grows again quite well. Last year it was getting a bit old and gnarled. I knocked it out of the pot and put a spade through the middle of it, and now I've got 2, and they're growing much better for a bit of that rather rough treatment. Goodness, it's lovely and warm here in the polytunnel. Actually gone up to over 90 degrees Fahrenheit on several days in these bright sunny days, and then really drops like a stone at night. Has been down to freezing this week. I'm watching the sweet peas because they're now about, 2.5-3 feet high. The flower bud's just developing, and of course if we have too many cold nights, there'll be bud drop, which will be quite a problem. Now, when it comes to the news, it's a time of rapid change. I mean, the bedding plant growers that would have been producing millions of plants to send out to garden centres, some of them really in dire straits and having to make all kinds of changes. Some of them have switched to selling direct or finding people who are working mail order and online, watching the shopping channels over the Easter weekend. Goodness, they were offering loads and loads of plants, Some of the garden centres that have farm shops or food and pet departments are opening those sections, and I did hear of a garden centre east of Reading. The farm shop was open, and if you bought some food, you could also buy 3 bags of potting compost. Seems to be potting compost that most of us are short of. It is a job to raise seeds and seedlings without a bit of something to grow them in. A number of the growers are sort of readjusting their cropping, potting stuff on so that they'll have bigger plants to sell when hopefully things ease in the summer. John Adlam, the advisor to the trade, Dove Associates, he's produced a leaflet telling people how they can hold plants back. In the bedding plant world, it was quite a skill with watering. If you kept the plants on the dry side, it will certainly hold the growth back and produce a much shorter plant. But of course, you need some skill. Just let them get too dry and you get root scorch and you've lost them before you know where you are. There's been talk too about the lack of people coming in from Eastern Europe, especially the seasonal workers, to harvest crops. And it's interesting to read that the recruitment for farm work has seen an 83% rise. And when it comes to fruit pickers, well, their applications are up 338%. Good luck to those, especially young people who have a go at that fruit picking. I certainly spent a month picking apples when I was a much younger person. And really, I think it's a great job. But they should be ready for a pretty tiring time for a day or two. You know, if you're not used to working a full day out in the open air, lifting boxes of fruit or stretching, then it can be quite demanding for a day or two. But if you grit your teeth and stick at it, then your body will soon get adapted and you'll feel much fitter and better as a result of it. But what about our own gardens, with so many people now having to spend all of the week at home? I had a fair number of hardy annuals, things like larkspur, cornflower, Gaudetia, sown in little cells, and they're up as little seedlings, and in the next week or two I'll be planting those out and sowing some more, because if you can sow in succession, then you get a succession of flowers to cut. I may plant some of those in meter square patches on the veg plot, so it has both cut flower checkerboard gardening and veg checkerboard gardening. I've done it before and it works quite well. There's one flower that I do recommend that you try, and that's the zinnia. They make really wonderful cut flowers. If you sow them in the soil, last week in April, first week in May, in most parts of the country, they'll germinate quite happily, and then you can thin them out if you've sown the seed reasonably thickly in rows. But wait until the seedlings are 2 or 3 inches tall before you do that thinning, because then the thinnings can be transplanted, and that again will stagger arrival of the first blooms. Sitting here in the polytunnel right beside me, I've got several trays of chrysanthemum cuttings. They were rooted 6 or so weeks ago, and they're about 9 or 10 inches tall now and ready for what we call stopping. You just break the tip out and it makes them branch. So instead of just having one tall straight stem, you will have anything 3, 5 or 7 stems from each chrysanthemum plant. But if you time it right, grow them almost a little bit too tall at this stage, the piece you snap out can be rooted, and then you'll have another chrysanthemum cutting. In fact, you can probably do it twice, although the last batch of cuttings, which will be taken in late May, early June, you would probably just run those up on a single stem. You wouldn't stop them, and you'd just have one very big flower on the top of that single stem.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, Anthony. How are things up in deepest Norfolk? It is Norfolk, isn't it?
It is. Good morning, Peter. Yeah, the sun is shining, and ordinarily we would be very busy in the run-up to Easter, and lots of customers would be phoning us in and placing orders. And here we are today. Sun is shining, but there's nothing happening on the nursery apart from routine watering and caring for plants.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Can you scene set for us a bit? I mean, Derby Nursery stock won't be known to the average gardener, but you're producing pretty big numbers of container-grown trees, shrubs, that kind of thing. Can you sort of set the scene for us?
Yes, certainly. We've been around for about 60 years. We have 50 or thereabouts full-time employees, and normally at this time of year, 70 seasonal staff, most of whom come back year after year. They leave their homes and families in Bulgaria and come and join us for 6 or 7 months through the spring and the summer. We sell under the Temptations brand. We sell trees, shrubs and herbaceous perennials and deliver to garden centres throughout the UK, as far north as Inverness and as far west as Penzance.
Now the business started on an old World War II airfield, didn't
That's
it?
Right, yes, and we're still on the old World War II airfield. It's a wind-swept site, and that makes the plants hardy, we say. And
it certainly does that. I remember taking somebody there in a February when the wind was in the east, and we walked the length of that runway. Is it a mile? And goodness, we were cold by the time we got back to the office. Yeah,
yeah, you would have been. It is a mile, and it is cold in February.
Yeah, but you have another area in addition to the airfield.
Yeah, we have another site in Methvold Hythe, which is mainly where we do our young plants and our protected cropping. We have 5 or 6 acres of glass houses and a similar area of polytunnels. And, yeah, we grow most of the herbaceous plants and the lavenders down in the other site.
Now, would most of the crop be a one-year turnaround?
We grow some crops that are less than a year. We grow some fast-growing salvias and verbenas that at point of sale are probably 4 to 6 months old. Then crops like lavenders and veronicas would be around about 1 year old at time of sale. And then crops such as, for example, Ceanothus choisia vinca would be 2 years old or a little over at point of sale. And then the woodier shrubs in the 2 and 3 litre pots, the Weigelas, the Philadelphus, etc., they tend to be more like 3 years old. And then the larger pots, the 7.5 litre shrubs, would be 4 or 5 years on a nursery.
And that's really quite a gamble, that crop, isn't it? You know, if you're starting out and going to grow something for 5 years, you have no idea what the market's going to be like in 5 years' time.
You're absolutely right. We just have to grow on good faith, if you like. And until this year, every year there has been a market. Maybe some years are better than others, but there's always been a market for most of what we've produced.
I don't think any of us have experienced anything quite like the current situation.
No, nothing like it at all. Nothing like it at all. I mean, the beast from the east was unpleasant for a couple of weeks, but it didn't cause an existential threat to nurseries, whereas this current crisis undoubtedly does. We did a bit of business early in March, but most of our garden centre customers became very cautious, knowing that lockdown was coming. And so we're now 4 weeks into a period of no sales. And in a sunny week like this week, we would expect to be selling around £300,000 worth of plants every week. So you can imagine that we very quickly end up with a fairly large hole in our cash flow somewhere.
I mean, it's frightening, isn't it?
A few weeks down the track.
Yeah. You know, I recall the winter of 62-63, when we didn't see the soil from Christmas round till mid-March. But then, of course, we did have the main spring season from sort of Mothering Sunday through to mid-June is the nursery stock harvest time, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. From early March through to mid-June is our harvest, absolutely. That is the time when we convert our year or more than a year's hard work into cash to pay for the next year's crops and to pay all the staff to get through next year's winter and be here for our customers in 2021 and 2022, hopefully. But it's looking very challenging at the moment.
Well, you know, I'm pressing every button I can to get garden centres open again. I don't understand the logic or the reasoning that allows people to be quite close to one another in supermarkets, while on retail nurseries and garden centres, they could be distant to one another and in the open air.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the supermarkets have done an excellent job in learning how to retail safely. They've put up screens and they've handled distancing at the tills and reducing the number of people in their stores. And I think the general public have learned a great deal about how they need to behave in a retail environment. And I think you're absolutely right that the outdoor area of a garden centre would be considerably safer as a shopping environment than a supermarket. Garden centres could undoubtedly open very safely, a lot safer than they might have been 3 weeks ago. And we can only hope that the government feel able to ease some of the lockdown as soon as they possibly can. I do understand the absolute imperative to minimise the spread of the virus, but it would be very helpful if garden centres could reopen as soon as possible.
I mean, we need to look very much to the future. And one of my concerns is that prices of food are going to rise with the pressures on the whole industry, not just the ornamental one. You do quite a range of fruit, don't you?
Yeah, we do. And certainly garden centres were finding stronger demand for grow your own in the last few days they were open before they were forced to close.
I think your uncle, in fact, had quite a big soft fruit business. And if somebody plants a container blackcurrant, for example, or even strawberries come to that, they can be cropping in weeks.
They could be. I think you're supposed to cut down a blackcurrant bush, I believe, after you plant it and wait for 2 years, but it is possible.
Well, not with your container stock. Come on now.
No, it's certainly possible to get a crop in year one, and I wouldn't cut it down to the ground, but I believe that's what we always used to be told.
Now, what about the financial implications? Because the taxation situation doesn't look terribly fair to the nursery stock people.
Well, we all know, Peter, that it costs money to grow your stock. And the way the current agricultural valuation system that also applies to nursery stock works, cost is deemed to equal value. But those of us who have been around a long while know that nothing in the world of plants has really got a value until you sell it and you hear the till ringing. And that's probably where we in the HMRC tend to disagree. They insist on us valuing our stock by HS232, which is their current code of practice. And that means that on a nursery like ours, we've got a stock value at our year end of around and about £1.5 million. And in order to have that value of stock. At some point over the previous years, we've had to pay a fair lot of corporation tax on the profit that is created by generating a high stock value. If we had been able to accept the fact that the stock has a cost of production but doesn't have a value until it's sold, we would have paid an awful lot less corporation tax over the years. And of course, now that you get a year when most of our stock looks like being a liability because we've got to keep it watered and may eventually have to pay someone to throw it out, it has no value. And of course, all we can get back from the HMRC at the end of this tax year is the small amount of corporation tax that we might have paid in the immediate prior year. And that, of course, is only if we're still here at the end of the year to reclaim it.
Yeah. And the government's going to need some taxes, isn't it? You know, it's a very good reason to get the garden centres open in some ways, so that the money flows and they get their taxes back. I very well remember one of my old bosses, the late Jim Strike, in discussions with the local tax officer and his accountant, saying that if you want me to value the poinsettia crop and put that into the accounts, as long as I can pay you in poinsettias, and if the heating fails one night, you lose the tax and not me losing the value. It was quite a heated discussion. Didn't get him anywhere, but he made the point, I think.
The point was well made, and so appropriate that we're talking about it today, because Jim Strike was our company's very first customer in 1962. Invoice number 0001 went to Strike's.
There's another long story there, Anthony. but before I get down that route, for those gardeners that are listening, sometimes when we buy a 3-litre container, for example, it will have a surface scattering of chipped bark on it. I'm afraid I sort of very carefully take that off and use it in the compost for blueberries, which like quite an open compost. Why do you put that chippings on?
We put the bark chippings on the top inch or so of the growing media to suppress weeds, because it drains very freely. It's less likely to germinate weeds in the top surface. And it also suppresses liverwort, which can be a problem on nurseries for crops that are on the ground for a long while. And
it's an organic weed control from your point of view.
Yes, and we sometimes also use these coir disc pot toppers for the same purpose.
I haven't seen one of those, but if I do get one, I'll need to put it round my cabbage to stop cabbage root fly.
Yes, it would do that very well, I'm sure.
Anthony, it's very good to speak to you today. I'm very much with you in these difficult times, and let's just hope garden centres can be open again very soon and all of us back in the open air gardening.
Yeah, we all hope that, Peter, and the sooner we're back delivering to garden centres, the sooner we can get back paying some tax and help dig the country out of this big hole.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this programme. And of course to my producer, Rich Jarman. And you for listening. If the podcast this week has sounded a bit disjointed, well then my apologies. It's been a really tough week with my wife, Margaret, passing from this world last Saturday. Long suffering with dementia, it's interesting to see how dementia sufferers still respond well to music. You know, there was lots of sort of karaoke-style singing on the memories corridor where there were 10 or 12 dementia sufferers. And then last Saturday, sitting at home, I heard part of a BBC Two programme on country music. And on that programme, suddenly up popped Emmylou Harris singing Mr. Sandman.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
a very popular song when Margaret and I started at Whittle College in 1954. Goodness, hearing that song brought back some amazing memories.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.